celebrate America's independence with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, July 3rd, with the Pickering Family Singers. It all starts at 10 a.m. with the Pickering Family Singers in concert. The concert is followed by a message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Then it's an old-fashioned barbecue with pork, chicken, and all the fixings on the church grounds. Everything is free. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today about a subject that may or may not be relevant to you, but it's a subject that I believe is relevant to the Christian community. It is relevant to the understanding of the truth of the Word of God. It is relevant to proper biblical hermeneutics, that is, interpretation of the Scripture. And I say that in view of the fact that we have some on radio and otherwise that want to answer questions about the Scripture that eviscerate the truth of the Word of God, destroy the fundamentals of the Word of God, destroy the viability and reliability of the Word of God. Because if you put doubt in the minds of the listeners about the viability and the reality of the Scripture, you're destroying the total of Scripture. What if you take just a verse or two and say it's not real, it's not relevant, you can't believe that, or it's just an allegorical, or it's a simple symbolic or mythological text, then who's going to decide on what other verses can be viewed as simply mythology and not to be taken real? I've seen a lot of folks that say, well, that's just myth. And I've said many, many times when they face God, they're going to realize that they were simply myth taken with believing that it was a myth.
Amen.
Pastor Davis is with me today. We're talking about what is the Tree of Life. And ladies and gentlemen, you can jump in at any time you'd like to. If you've got questions about the Tree of Life, during the course of this broadcast, it'll probably be touched on or covered. But you'd like to ask your question, join in with what you understand it to be, that's perfectly all right. Love to hear from you. The number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Pastor Davis says 4 places in the Scripture that talks about the Tree of Life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, 8, and 9. We looked at that just a moment ago. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Revelation 22 and verse 2. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Only 4 places in the Word of God that the place called the Tree of Life is mentioned. We just looked at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, 8, and 9. We understand according to the Scripture, it's God planted the trees in the Garden of Eden. 2 trees out of all of the trees. We don't know how many other trees and what variety of fruits were produced in the Garden of Eden. But we do know that there's 2 trees that he named, and that's the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it's very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, I'm rehashing, if you please, a couple of things to make our next point, and that is that they were literal trees. They were literally grown-up adult trees. They were fruit-bearing trees. They were planted in the garden. They were planted in the dirt. And they were literal trees, not figurative and not symbolic. They were literal, real trees. And no, the tree of life is not speaking of Jesus at all. ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
If we look at the scripture and understand what the scripture is saying. But we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, according to the tree of life, as indicated in verse 9 of chapter 9, or chapter 2 of Genesis, that is, it is talking about the immortality. It is talking about the eternality. It is talking about the provision of God for sustaining Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that God said do not partake of. As a result of that, that's called sin because they disobeyed God. Let me just touch on that again in case you didn't get it earlier. That is the indication, ladies and gentlemen, that God created us, you, me, as with Adam and Eve, as created moral beings with volitional choice. God says, eat of all of the trees of the garden, but you cannot eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was a no-no. It was the parameter that God said, don't eat it. And Adam and Eve did. As a result of that, that is called sin. And as a result of their sin, they were shut out of the Garden of Eden. They could no longer partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, nor could they, again, partake of the tree of life.
Amen.
So, ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, that takes us into the fact in Revelation chapter 2. Read chapter 2 for us, Pastor Davis. Read chapter 2 in Revelation. And pick up, let's go back to about verse 4. It's Jesus speaking to the church at Ephesus. I call it the pitiful church at Ephesus. Pick up with verse 4, Pastor Davis, and read through about verse 7.
Amen. Revelation 2 and 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
That's a fantastic text. In fact, Pastor, I just will be finishing up this Sunday from the pulpit a series of seven messages where Jesus spoke to the seven churches in the book of the Revelation. And this is the first one of the seven in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, which is the church at Ephesus. And the scripture says they had left their first love. And he's saying there, you need to repent. Let's change your mind. You need to return from where you are, or I'm going to remove your light as a church. I'm going to remove you, take you out of this world, if you will, except that repent. And he goes on to say in verse 7, he that hath an ear, in each of the seven churches, when Jesus speaks to them, the latter portion of the text, he challenges, he that hath an ear to hear. It's the word oikos, means your ear to hear with the idea of heeding what Jesus is saying
Amen.
To the church.
Amen.
So Jesus says, if you would put it in the young blood vernacular, he's saying, ladies and gentlemen of the church at Ephesus, listen up, hear what I'm saying. Let you hear what the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is saying. Let you hear that unto the churches, plural, not just one, saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
We have a transition from Genesis and the Garden of Eden to here where it's called the paradise of God. And it's talking about God's heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, it's saying to him that overcometh. So I want us to understand as we look at this text, we're talking about supernatural provision, just as in the Garden of Eden. That was the supernatural provision of God. We find in Revelation 2, 7, to him that overcometh, speaking of Jesus, will give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. It's literally talking about the tree of life is now found in that place called heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, time won't allow to go through all of the details, but let me just simply say this. There's coming a day that this old world is going to be totally destroyed as we know it.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 3 talks about that day coming. when God is going to destroy this world. He destroyed it one time by flood. Next time he'll destroy it by fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, 8, and 9, the right page, the right column, just about the bottom of the page in my Bible. It talks about after the release of Satan, after he's been bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, then even after Satan has been bound where there's no sin taking place for the 1,000-year reign, there's no Satan because he's bound. When he is released, the people of the earth, as the sand of the sea, the scripture says, will follow after Satan. And verse 7, 8, and 9 says in Revelation chapter 20 that God's going to send fire down from heaven and destroy them. I believe that's the nexus between 2 Peter chapter 3 and the Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, 8, and 9 of the evisceration of the world as we know it today. The scripture, many theologians refer to it as the coming paleogenesis, that is the recreation of the Garden of Eden. Because when you study it, we'll look at that in just a moment. When you look at Revelation chapter 22, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you find that what was in the Garden of Eden will be found in that place called heaven.
Amen.
We're looking at this now in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Pastor, and it talks about to him that overcometh. The overcomer, ladies and gentlemen, is the Christian that you can get knocked down and you get up. You can have trials and tribulations and difficulties and you keep on serving Jesus.
Amen.
You can have devastation and difficulty and destruction on every hand, and you keep on keeping on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, that's the overcomer. And
amen.
I don't know about you and what you've experienced, but I've found some of the most sincere, seasoned Christians that I know are those that have gone through major, major, major devastation, difficulties, trials, and tribulations in life.
Amen.
But they keep on keeping on serving the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus called them overcomers.
Amen.
Overcomers. And that's what I believe every Christian should be, is an overcomer.
Amen.
And so Jesus is saying to the church at Ephesus, let me hear you, let me speak and you hear me well, he's saying. He that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life. It's in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen.
Jesus says, dear Christian friend, dear Christian at Ephesus, dear Christian applicable today, if you're facing trials and tribulations and difficulties and you say yes to, have said yes to Jesus Christ, and you keep on keeping on and serving me, he says, there's a special meal for you. There's a special fruit for you. There's a special enjoyment for you. There is the eternal provision, the supernatural provision awaiting you in that place called heaven.
Amen.
Nothing
Amen.
Mysterious about it, nothing mystical about it whatsoever. Jesus says, dear Christian friend, if you face trials and tribulations and difficulties and darkness, yet you continue to serve me, I'm going to give you eternal provision,
Amen.
Eternal nourishment in that place called heaven. Nothing to be looked at in a mystical sense. It's simply the Lord Jesus Christ saying, there's a reward awaiting every child of God that stands up, speaks up, and is heard and seen, and is not sitting down and faltering and falling and failing.
Amen.
Pastor, I've used the term, and perhaps you've heard me use it before, the faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first. There are a lot of folks that start out of the chute and saying yes to Jesus, and they run the, rather than going a 440 relay, they might have a 100-yard dash, and they sit on the side and quit. They do not continue in the race and the running. This is the reason the scripture talks about the great cloud of witnesses that's watching us in these days of running the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is talking about eternal provision, that supernatural provision, that eternal nourishment. But ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation 22, Pastor found Revelation 22.
Amen.
And let's
Amen.
Look at the first five verses.
Amen.
Because,
and you know, Dr. Youngblood, while you're saying that, when I wake up every day, I realize I'm still being blessed.
Amen.
And when I touch up here on the top of my head, I can feel my hair, but I ain't felt no crown yet.
That's right.
I know
there.
It's not all over.
It's not there.
Amen. I haven't gotten there yet.
That's right.
But we used to sing a song in the church a long time ago. Say, only one look at Jesus. Only one look at him. Mm-hmm. Only one look at Jesus will pay for it all.
Amen.
It'll be worth it That's one right. day. When we be able to see him for ourselves Amen. And to dwell in his holy presence.
Amen.
So he's telling us right here, we have to overcome. There's a lot of things we have to overcome.
Absolutely.
We have personal things. We have corporate things. There are many things that we have to overcome. But the road is not going to be easy.
Amen.
But when we look in the Bible, as I said in the beginning of the broadcast, mm-hmm. the Bible has instructions for us to help us, amen, to get through these things that we have to overcome.
Amen.
So I find that to be very encouraging on today.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation chapter 22. And we're going to verse number 2.
One through five.
Amen. And say it here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Praise God.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in about the third or fourth draft of the manuscript on a book called That Place Called Heaven. And this is some of the text that I use in the book. In fact, I exegete verse by verse for all of chapter 21 and most of the chapter 22 in the exegetical understanding of That Place Called Heaven. And one of the glory hallelujah things that we'll have in heaven is to have the eternal preservation and provision. Now, this text is weighted with golden nuggets throughout these verses. But in the second verse, it says, in the midst of the street, notice it says one street, not plural, because when you look at Revelation 21, heaven is going to have one street. It's paved with pure gold. Doesn't say the streets in heaven, but one street singular that goes through the center of heaven.
Amen.
And it says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, plural, and
Amen.
Yielded her fruit, singular, every month. And the leaves, plural, of the tree, that's talking about the tree of life, were for the healing of the nation.
Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's talking about the continual blessings in heaven. It is very, very clear, as we understand the text, ladies and gentlemen, that the tree of life is talking about that, and notice it says, for the healing of the nations. Ladies and gentlemen, it literally means to produce plentiful fruit for the preservation, the eternal preservation, and from that's brought about by the power of God for the preservation of the sons and daughters of God in that place called heaven. It says, notice the scripture says here, ladies and gentlemen, and on each side of the river. It's talking about the river that's flowing from the throne of God. It is talking about that manner of provision for you and for me if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as God, Savior and as Lord. You will spend eternity in that place called heaven. That tree of life is there. We do not know if this means multiple trees. I said to Pastor Davis before the broadcast, we were talking in general, I don't know if this means multiple trees, but it says on each side of the river, there was the tree of life.
Amen.
And so I'm looking at it very clearly, literally speaking, and there's going to be at least two trees called the tree of life, because it says on each side, on either side of the river, there's the tree of life. Now, it may be that lined up on each side of the river, going all the way to the throne of God, will be a lineup of the trees of life, but it's talking about tree singular, the tree of life. Didn't say plural, the trees of life, but the tree of life is on either side, on each side of the river.
Amen.
This means there are multiple trees of life or just one tree on each side. I don't know, but the whole point is in heaven, just as found in the Garden of Eden, in heaven, there will be the tree of life.
Amen.
Now, in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life was to provide the fruit for the nourishment and the provision for Adam and Eve. Right? If I were standing in a classroom, students, is that right? Absolutely.
Amen.
And the 22nd chapter of Revelation, it's talking about that place called heaven. And in heaven, you find the same tree producing the same fruit. And the fruit, the scripture says, is for the preservation of the nations. So we find God's eternal, supernatural preservation for those of us that will be in that place called heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, it indicates the plentifulness of God's provision that's available in heaven. But notice, ladies and gentlemen, there's no mention of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in that place called heaven.
Amen.
Because sin will not be there. Sin will not prevail. Therefore, there's no tree that says you can't partake of the fruit of that tree because sin will no longer exist. In heaven, there's no more dying. There's no more crying. There's no more tears. There's no more death. There's no more sun. But the S-O-N of God shines, giving the light, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 23 through verse 27.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the text that we find is talking about the preservation, the eternal, the supernatural provision and preservation. So, Pastor, somebody would ask the question, will we eat in heaven? Absolutely.
Amen.
We'll be eating the fruit from the tree of life.
Amen. Amen.
Which is the eternal preservation for the child of God in that place called heaven. In heaven, we will eat. It will be the fruit of the tree of life. We'll not need to hold, we're not told what kind of fruit it will be. We don't know what. I don't care what kind of fruit it is. I know it's a fruit from the tree of life, and I'm not concerned about it. We just need to be assured that we've said yes to Jesus Christ, and as a saved person, we will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity, eating his eternal provision and preservation that's plenty for the child of God. The Gaithers sang that song so many years ago, around the table of God, there's plenty around the table of God.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll look at one of the last verses, because only four verses in the Bible, four places where the text is found. Pastor Davis, read that. Revelation 22, verse 14.
Amen. It says here, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of into the city.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the wonder of it all. That is the glory hallelujah text. That's the capstone. Blessed. We are blessed in that place called heaven. Blessed are they that do. That is, we're obedient to the word of God.
Amen.
The reward that we have for the child of God is being obedient to the word of God, that we might have the right. We talk about our rights so often in the world today.
Amen.
Talk about we've got a right to do this. Right. We don't have a right to participate from the fruit of the tree of life unless we've said yes to Jesus Christ based on the authority of his word.
Amen. Follow instructions.
Absolutely.
It's just that simple, and that's what I say. This Bible, again, for every Christian, you must know, these are your instructions given by God.
Right.
Listen, and he gives you the choice, as you just got finished saying. He gives us a choice to obey or to not obey. Now, we have Bible proof of what happens when you do not obey.
That's right.
Because it caused Adam and Eve to fall.
That's right.
So that means you, Christian man, Christian woman, if you do not obey the instructions from the word of God, you're going to fall.
That's right.
Now, I'm so glad that because of the blood of Jesus Christ and for his finished work out on the cross, when we fall, we don't have to stay there.
Amen.
Because Proverbs say a righteous man falls seven times.
Right.
Listen, I ain't telling you to keep falling
now. Gets up.
Amen.
No, that's not the authority to keep falling. That's just let us know there's the assurance.
Amen. And some of them say, brother, don't criticize me. I'm still on the wheel. Well, some of them act like they're burning the wheel up.
That's right.
The wheel will burn up if you stay there too long.
That's right.
But listen, what we want you to do, amen, is to be encouraged and get back on track with God. Get back in the word of God. Walk in the path of righteousness because he's promising you that you're going to be blessed if you do his commandments. And then he's going to give you a right that you never had before in your entire life. you're going to have the right to eat from the tree of life and live forever as a perfected, amen, human being.
Amen. In fact, Pastor, when we look at that verse, it takes me back to the few verses in the earlier portion of chapter 22. The scripture is very, very clear with what it says there in that second verse. In the midst of the tree of it, on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month.
Amen.
And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation.
Amen.
It is talking about the continuous blessings, and those continuous blessings are for that one that's the blessed of God in verse 14, that do his commandments, that they may have the right, the access, the benefit, the blessing, the availability of the fruit from the tree of life. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how I can make it any more clear than the fact that in heaven, we will have that access to the tree of life. We will have that benefit of the eternal preservation, eternal presence, the eternal provision, the supernatural provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to eat of the tree of life. We're not told what kind of fruit it's going to be. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm not concerned about the flavor of it, or I'm not concerned about the type of the fruit, but we're assured that that will be the provision. We're able to enjoy the fruit of the tree of life only if we've said yes to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And it's only if we've said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ that we will be able to enter through the gates into the city.
Amen.
And that rolls back, ladies and gentlemen, to Revelation chapter 21, that in that place called heaven, it's got the gates around the heaven, around that place called heaven.
Amen.
You can't get in the gate unless you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. You get to the gate and you say, some people have used the term St. Peter, can I get in? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it won't be St. Peter there. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only access, the only thing that gives us access to that place called heaven is if we're saved, saved, saved. If we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, then Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 calls us blessed. We're blessed, and the only one that can partake of the tree of life in that place called heaven and go in the gate to participate with that which is the eternal provision of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity are those that are saved. Pastor, we've got about 30 seconds. Wrap us up as we leave this broadcast today.
Amen. Let me challenge you on today after hearing this word, amen, on today, amen, to enter in at the straight gate.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus, amen, told us that in his word.
That's
enter
right.
in at the straight gate.
That's
because
right.
that is the gate that leads to eternal life.
Yes.
It is a narrow path, and there are going to be few that find it. But notice and understand that Revelation chapter 21, I believe you were just saying, amen, three gates in the north, the south, the east, and the west.
That's right.
Don't miss the gate because you disobeyed, amen, the commandments of God.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.